This is the tax update for the week beginning 24th September, and I begin by looking at a tax case which was heard by Colin Bishop, the president of the First Tier Tribunal, in which he ruled that an anonymous taxpayer would not be entitled to anonymity or privacy of details of his income if he proceeded to an appeal hearing. Just at the present time, there's been a great deal of rhetoric about tax avoidance, and my question is that for every professional advisor, surely they must act in the best interests of their client, and they owe a duty of care to their client or to their employer. And what I'm about to say applies not only to individuals but to companies. The difference, of course, is that companies have their accounts published, and therefore their business and profitability is public, whereas individuals are entitled to privacy. But everyone has to pay tax if they make profits. Tax avoidance is the use of lawful devices to reduce taxable income. We've seen rhetoric from George Osborne, Danny Alexander, and more recently David Gok, saying that tax avoidance is morally repugnant. And there can be a fine line between taking advantage of tax breaks explicitly created by the government to meet some kind of economic or social purpose, and cynically abusing complex tax law to try and obtain a shelter. Although there's plenty of rhetoric, when you analyse the statements made recently, you find that politicians confuse evasion and avoidance. And while no one should condone evasion, avoidance, I would stress, is legal. The problem is that when looking at tax avoidance, it's very difficult to define with any clarity what is the difference between acceptable tax planning and behaviour that some might view as unacceptable. So when advising a client, it's important to remember this case of Mr. A, who took advantage of a tax avoidance scheme and then, when HMRC challenged it, found himself facing a public hearing to deal with his appeal against HMRC's decision that the avoidance scheme didn't work. As usual, this podcast is accompanied with detailed notes and links to the case. But what is important is to remember that Judge Bishop has made it clear that under Regulation 32 of the Proceedings Act, the norm will be for all hearings on tax appeals to be held in public. That is something that needs to be considered when advising on what is in the best interests of the client, because, as Mr. A worried, if it became public knowledge that he had used an aggressive tax avoidance scheme, his livelihood could have been jeopardised. It's a complex issue, and this is an interesting case, well worth a read. Another interesting decision has emerged on whether or not golf club subscriptions were a single or a composite supply. And if it were a composite supply which could be analysed, what was the resultant VAT treatment? The appeal concerned several golf clubs taken together, but it also concerned competition, because proprietor golf clubs which aim to make a profit have to charge VAT, whereas non-profit-making member golf clubs are exempt from VAT. In trying to argue that the subscription covered a number of things, including rights to play, credit, golf union fees, and publications which might be zero rated, the court considered the arguments promoted, but then came down in favour of what I think was always clearly the law, which is that when you pay a golf club subscription, it's a single supply, with the main point being the golf club subscription. The European legislation at Article 13A 1M of the 6th Directive provides that that subscription will be exempt if non-profit making, but where a club aims to make a profit, it cannot benefit from the exemption. That does distort competition, but that's inevitable, and that's how the law is to be applied. The case is well worth a read. But to conclude today, HMRC have published Employer Bulletin 42, which gives out yet more information on real-time information developments. I am concerned that real-time information is a disaster waiting to happen, especially for small employers. But within the 28 pages of Bulletin 42, there's quite a lot of other news, and I've provided a link to it. And finally, HMRC are consulting on implementing the US-UK FATCA agreement. It's worth a read, and if you've got views on it, please send them to tax@icast.org.uk. Thanks for listening.